And so tonight I'd like for us to talk just a little bit about reaching out to the lost or witnessing to those who have not yet found Christ. And I'd like for us to start by looking at this verse in 2 Corinthians, these first three verses. Chapter 2 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but with demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." Now, not many people are powerful. Not many people are rich. Not many people are famous, though many wish that they were. We all want to be somebody, to amount to something. No one wants to appear foolish or appear weak in front of someone else. Which is why all the allure of the world was so enticing. The world has built up a better mousetrap, so it seems, coaching Christians onto spring-loaded traps of humanism and intellectual pride. But Paul would have none of it. Paul says, you know, he's come to Corinthians where these people were famous for making these big speeches. You know, lots of schools, lots of wisdom and worldly things where all these theaters were at. They would put on these big plays and things of that nature. And Paul says, "I'm not going to fool with any of that. The only thing I'm here to talk to you about is Christ and Him crucified." Even if the world thinks it foolish and weak, but because though the cross, God blesses us. I've often been confronted in my short life with those who seem to take pleasure in trying to tear down my faith. For reason unknown, perhaps they feel that if they can destroy my faith, it will allow them to feel a little bit better about their lack of faith. Or maybe it's just something so simple as wanting to be right. When you have two very different views, Christianity against atheism or other false religions, or things of that nature, somebody has got to be wrong. And it's just a matter that they don't want to be the ones that are wrong. And they're just trying to prove it. Whatever the case may be, we must be able to win them over, or at the very least, hold our own ground and stand firm in our faith. You see, it's just as surely as Jesus has sent us to be His witnesses, Satan has also sent out his army, his people, to destroy our testimony and try to destroy our witness. So how was it that the Apostle Paul was able to stand his own ground as well as win thousands and thousands over to Christ in Corinthians, one of the very capitals of false religion? How was it that the early church had so many great men and women able to lead so many to Christ? And why is it that we're not growing like they were then and here in our community, here in America? Now, the church today is still growing, leaps and bounds, some places faster than it was in those days. But it seems like here in America, we've went a little bit backwards. We're losing ground instead of gaining ground. So why do you suppose that is? Well, for several reasons. First of all, because of the silence of the church members. You see, in the rest of the world, they are very proud of their religion, about their beliefs. The same way we are here in Kentucky about the Wildcats. I constantly hear people talk endlessly about the Wildcats, what players were getting, what players were losing, what this player did, what his stats and stuff were, what the coaches are doing wrong, or what new coach we need to be getting. But when was the last time you ever heard him talk about Christ that much? When's the last time you heard people that excited, that passionate about their religion, about their beliefs, about their faith? Or, you know, same with, to be said with hunting and fishing. We all seem to know the ruts, when the best time to go is, when we go to find sheds, what calls are the best calls to use, or countless stories about the recent outing we went to, about that great fish that nearly got away. Kind of reminds me of a story. There's a man who sat and watched the people come in the docks all day long, watched the fish that they brought in and brought out. And there was always one fisherman who always brought in big fish, no matter rain or shine, no matter whether anybody else was catching anything or not. He always came in with a big bunch of fish. And so this man went and asked him one day, he said, "How is it that you catch so many fish when nobody else is catching nothing?" He said, "Can I go with you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Meet me here at 5 o'clock on the dock sharp in the morning, and you can go with me." So the man went home and got ready up next morning, 4 o'clock, went to Arizona dock, ready to go at 5 o'clock. Well, the man shows up, and they climb in a boat, and he takes off. He goes way, way, way out to the lake where nobody ever goes. No a soul around. Gets out the little toolbox. The man reaches, gets his tackle box, gets ready to ask him, which one do we use? The man opens up his toolbox, pulls out a stick of dynamite, lights it, throws it in the water. Boom! All these big fish start floating up, stunned from the explosion. The guy didn't know what to say, just sitting there looking at him. The guy reaches out, picks up the fish, grabs another one, throws it in the water. Again, fish comes up. The guy says, you can't do that. You can't do that. He says, well, I can't. He says, look, I'm the game warden. I said, I'm here to tell you, you can't do it. And I'm not going to only put you in jail. I'm going to put you under the jail. The man reaches in there, lights another stick of dynamite, throws it to him. He says, here, you going to talk all day or you going to fish? So we all need to be a little bit more like him. Sometimes we need just to shut up about everything else and simply fish, to be fishers of men like Jesus called us to do. But we don't. Instead, we let so much stuff get in our way. We think things like, well, I don't know the Bible well enough. I might mess up, or I'm afraid, or just the fact that, you know, that's just not my calling. That's just not my gift. Well, let's just look at some of the ways, some of these excuses just a little bit closer. First of all, like I often said so many times before, and I think it's so important for us as Christians to grasp this, to get this concept. We need to realize that Christ called us, each and every one, to be His witnesses, not to be His lawyers, as we looked at just a couple weeks ago in Romans. As we did at Wednesday night Bible study. What I mean is this. I have often been asked things like, you don't really believe all that stuff in the Bible, do you? You don't really believe He parted the Red Sea or that Jesus turned water into wine? I said, yes, I do. But I don't stop there. I said, you know, I wasn't there to see Jesus turn water into wine. I can't tell you, yes, for sure it happened. I believe that it did. But what I can tell you is how Jesus turned a drunkard into a man of God. Now, Jesus took my life and turned it around. He took me from a life of, running wild and drinking and things of that nature and made me a mighty man of God. How He reached down inside my very soul and touched me and changed me and made me to become the man I am today. That's what I can tell them about. I may not can prove to them or convince them about Jesus turning water into wine, but I can witness to them what Jesus has done in my heart, what Jesus has done in my life. And that's what Paul was doing here. He says, I'm convinced to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul was sharing with him about his own life experience, how Jesus reached him on the road to Damascus, how He reached in and touched his life, how He changed him. And that's why they were so successful. They wasn't trying to browbeat people with doctrine or with this and that and other. They were simply teaching people about Jesus, about the love of Jesus and what Jesus had done in their life. You see, if we can't effectively witness about something we never saw, no matter how much you may believe it, I can't convince them about Jesus doing that, but I can tell them, like I said, my life story. Not only my life story, but so many other people I've met along the way. A man I met in the Army who was on the verge of death, shooting up with needles and drugs and everything else, and just was just about on the verge of killing himself and everyone around him. But for some reason, somehow or another, Jesus got a hold of this man. Touched him and turned his life around to where he became, when I was there, he was the chief of chaplains on the army base I was at. Jesus can do so much through people, but that's what we need to be sharing with people. Our witness, our testimony. Or I'm telling about other countless other people that Jesus has touched. The stories that we've heard so much. I'm reminded of one story, true or not, don't know, about a little girl who was brought up in an abusive home and whose parents often beat each other to the pulse, bloody messes pulse. And one night, as they was in this drunken rage, she was hiding behind the couch as her father killed her mother and then took his own life. And then how she was brought into a foster home and the foster people brought her to church and seen the picture of Jesus. And she says, who is that man? They said, that's Jesus. She says, well, I know him. He was there with me holding me behind the couch when my parents were killed. I mean, things of that nature, that's what we can touch people's lives with. That's what we need to be out there witnessing to people. You see, Paul said that when he came to talk to them, he didn't try using big fancy words to tell them the rules and regulations from the Bible. He said, I determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified, which is what we should be doing also. Also notice that Paul was in much fear and trembling. In other words, he was terrified to get up in front of these people and preach. He was scared about talking with these people about Christ. Fear is not something we have a monopoly on. We all have fear, and talking in front of others and about our faith is something that's scary to all of us. We don't want to be looked, we're afraid that we're going to look foolish in front of others or maybe even failing. And, you know, people, we get little images of the apostles and, you know, big, strong, rugged men and everything else. Let me tell you what Paul really looked like. Paul was a very, very short man. He was bald. He wore bad eyesight. So in our days, he'd have big, thick bottle glasses. He didn't speak real well. Wasn't big, eloquent, a lot of words and stuff like that. And he was kind of skittish. He wasn't very big presence in there. In fact, in one of his letters, he says people accuse him of being weak whenever he's there in presence. But when he said, in letters, you're very strong. So Paul was not, you know, comfortable getting up in front of people, but he never let that stop him. He never let that get in his way. Jesus tells us, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He says, but the cowardly, that is those who let fear overcome them, who let fear prevent them from doing what they should do. He said, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 through 8. Again, the Bible tells us, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, for neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or exhorters, shall enter into the kingdom of God. That's 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. And last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, be watchful, stand firm, act like men. Let all that you do be done in love. In other words, he's saying, you know, as we would say, I guess, term in our words, be cowboy up or man up. You know, quit playing, quit hiding, quit letting your fears stop you. Get up, get out, and get the word out. Rescue the lost, like Jesus calls us to do. Start bearing some fruit. For rest assured, as the Bible tells us over and over again, the axe is already laid to every root that does not tree that does not bear fruit. We must all be brave and not worry about the consequences of our witnessing, as Paul did. Jesus has said, go, and if we refuse to go, we take his message to the very ones it would save, and we have no right to call ourselves by his name. We have no right to call ourselves Christian. In fact, we bring shame to that very name. I'd like to take just a second or two, and I'd like to read to you a psalm. I don't know it well enough to lead, but it's a very touching psalm. And I think sometimes if we just sit and think about the words of a psalm, it has better effect on us. It's in the big book, and it's Psalm number 92. It says, when in the better land I stand before the bar, when in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our soul may be, if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word wherever it may be heard. Help groping souls that like to see, that yonder none may say to you, you show me not the way, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me, you helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes on Calvary, so work as they go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me. So this is a very heart-wrenching song, and makes me think about all the people I've yet to talk to, all the people who I may have talked to once or twice, but I've not went back to again. It really makes us stop and wonder, stop and take stock in ourselves. We all need to keep that in promise, or keep that in mind. What happens when we get to heaven? When we're at the great judgment scene, and all these people, you know, could this be said of us? You never mentioned him to me. I mean, all the people we know that are out there that are lost that we have not yet talked to. We need to let that be our battle cry and get out there and get the word out. Some other things we need to remember in order to be a successful witness, I call them the three P's of our faith. First of all, is the pit. Remember the pit from which you came. Isaiah puts it this way, hearken to me, ye that follow all righteousness. Ye that seek Jehovah, look unto the rock which you were hewn, and to the hold of the pit which you were dug. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For when he was but one, I called him, and I blessed him, and made him many. That's Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 and 2. Now it is, then, never look down on others. Remember that you were once in that same pit that they're in. You were once just like them, but by the grace of God and someone coming to you and witnessing to you and talking to you about Jesus, you would still be in that pit there with them. A great man once said, had this quote on his deathbed, and I really liked it. He says, I deserve to be damned. He said, I deserve to be in hell this very day. He says, but God interferes. And I really like it. He's saying, you know, acknowledging that even though he's this great big leader of this church and everything else, and he's this very mighty man of God, he said, I deserve to be in hell, but God interfered. Someone came to me and told me about God. He interfered in my life, reached down and changed me. The next P we need to remember is praise. That is, refuse to praise. What I mean by that is never think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, as the Bible says. Never become conceited or arrogant, or you'll never be able to reach anyone, but instead turn them away from Jesus. Paul never let the praise of others, never let his success go to his head. He always kept himself down and always kept himself humble and grounded. And that way he was said, I'm able to be all things to all men. He says in his letter to 1 Timothy, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. That comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 15 through 17. So never forget the pit that we came from, and always refuse the praise. And the last one is P for power. That is, rely on the power. Jesus says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I am them, will produce much fruit. But from apart from me, you can do nothing. That's John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And the last scripture I'd like to share with you is Isaiah 55. It says, he puts it like this. God promises that the rain and snow come down from the heavens, and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to do, and will prosper wherever I send it. So my question to you is, have you ignored opportunities to help other people? Have you stood by and watched as others drifted and never reached out to them, never mentioned Christ to them? Have you rebelled against Jesus and refused to tell others about him and what he has done for you personally? If you have, I beg or urge you to take this chance to rededicate yourselves right here and right now from this day forward to never, ever again let an opportunity pass. To never let someone go by knowing that they are astray and not helping them out, not reaching out to them. Or perhaps maybe you have as yet to let him come into your own life, to surrender control, all control over to Jesus. Then I ask you to take this chance now and come and let him show you what he can do for you and through you. Whatever the case may be, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing and make things right with God at this opportunity.